Yeah, it is a Manic Monday, but it is a beautiful Manic Monday. I hope you had a great weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm glad you're with us. We have a lot to get to this afternoon, including the passionate war that took place over the weekend on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. I have a lot to say about that. And by the way, this week I'm going to get back on Instagram on a regular basis. And also I'm going to start on the, it's going to be new for me, the relatively new platform, Substack. So I'm going to start on that this week and also reintroduce myself on Instagram. But really quite a passionate war over comments on the SOTA Facebook page over the weekend. You can read up on some of those on several different topics. So we'll get to some of that this afternoon. All right, a lot to talk about this afternoon. The city council is pissed off at Mayor Cantrell, and they should be. The arrogance of Mayor Cantrell continues, and she continues to top herself in terms of arrogance. The city council is talking about city officials not traveling because the mayor claims the city's so broke that she can't pay the Orleans Parish School Board what she needs to pay them. And Ian, I don't know what's going on there. Okay, it's gone now, but I was just hearing an echo in my headphones. So during the show from my apartment at West End, my studio apartment here. Well, actually, it's not a studio apartment, but it's a studio in my apartment. So that, to me, that makes it a studio apartment. Anyway, it's gone now, so it's cool. So the city council wants to ban travel. The mayor traveled anyway. She went to Washington, D.C. And, you know, she's not going to be in office for too much longer. I know it just it seems like forever. And it has been a long time, two terms. But what has made it so long and difficult is her arrogance and her ego-driven mentality that she is the effing queen of New Orleans. That's what she acts like, a queen. And there are so many similarities between the mentality of Donald Trump and the mentality of LaToya Cantrell that it would take us much of the show to cover those parallels. Now, they're totally different politically, but in terms of attitude, there are some striking similarities. So anyway, we'll talk about arrogant Mayor Cantrell again today. But again, it's coming to an end. And the New Orleans mayor's race is heating up. We've got an article on our website right now, WWL.com, about the mayor's race. Oliver Thomas has not yet announced, but I'm sure he's going to announce that he's running for mayor at some point. The interesting thing is that he linked himself to Mayor Cantrell, thinking that this was the smart thing to do because he would get Cantrell's support. I can't imagine that there's one person who voted for Mayor Cantrell who is happy with the mayor. But I'm sure there is one person, and maybe three. But a lot of people who voted for Mayor Cantrell didn't really understand what they were getting. Well, now they know. And I can't believe that the majority of people who voted for Cantrell for re-election are happy with her attitude, happy with her arrogance. I can't believe that so many people who voted for her right now would be happy with the way she has treated the taxpayers. Those of us who live in New Orleans, those of us who work in New Orleans and play in New Orleans and pay taxes, I can't imagine that those voters are happy with Mayor Cantrell because she has continued to just stick it in your face that she is the queen and she will do whatever she wants, even though she says the city is broke. If your company is broke, you're not supposed to travel. You're supposed to cut out things like traveling. The future of this city does not depend on Mayor Cantrell going to Washington, D.C. And I'm sure she's up there hobnobbing, looking for a job. But I mean, those people who would think about hiring Mayor Cantrell, I mean, they have to look at her record. And how could they avoid this blaring record that shows that she has no regard for the city's budget? No regard. And that she will take advantage of the city's budget, even though she says the city doesn't have any money. So, I mean, I don't know that her resume would look that impressive, but you know she went to D.C. not to represent the city of New Orleans. She went to D.C. to hobnob, desperately trying to find a job. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what she does after. Anybody have any suggestions about what would be the perfect job for Mayor Cantrell when she gets out of office? I mean, we've got a mayor's race coming up, what, this fall, right? So what would be a perfect job for Mayor Cantrell? We can talk about that this afternoon. So he did not say this at all during the campaign, but President Donald Trump is not ruling out a recession and said this is a period of transition. Let me tell you something about the people who say this is a period of transition and it's no big deal and it's just something we have to go through. It's a setback, but it's going to be better. First of all, I hope it does get better. But I know for a fact that somebody who posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, I know for a fact that this woman has money. And she's on there talking about how, oh, this is just a little temporary setback and things are going to be better. Well, this particular person, and I'm not going to identify her. She knows who she is, but she has money. And all of the people, Donald Trump has money. It seems like all of the people who are saying this is just a little setback, these are not people who are working paycheck to paycheck. Now, I could say it. I mean, I have the money to go through this and not really be that affected by it. And Donald Trump can't fire me because I'm not a federal worker. So I could actually say, it's just a little transition. You know, it's a period of transition. This is just a little thing that we're going through right now. Don't really worry about it. I can say that. But I don't. I'm speaking out for the people who are impacted by this greatly, who are impacted by inflation, which continues, impacted by gas prices, by grocery prices, people who have been fired. A lot of these people who are commenting and saying, oh, this is really nothing. It's just a little transition. You got to realize that a lot of them probably have money. And I know one for sure who's really very boisterous on my Facebook page. And she and her husband, they got bucks. She doesn't have a thing to worry about. Nothing when it comes to money. And yet she's so casually saying, oh, don't worry about it. It's just a little transition. Whereas I, who could say that, I'm not saying that. I'm thinking about the people who are really deeply affected by this. So also, there was a lot going on my Facebook page, on social media over the weekend. And I'll talk a little bit about that later in the show. So the Saints, you know, I don't know whether this is good or bad, but the Saints have restructured Derek Carr's contract. I mean, it's good because of the salary cap. And I'm not an expert when it comes to salary cap. I mean, I understand the basics of it, but I'm not an expert in that area. But they want to restructure Derek Carr's contract, which means that they, to some degree, they're sticking with Derek Carr. And I just don't think Derek Carr is the guy. And if somebody like Spencer Rattler starts to show that he can do the job, you know, I hope that they let him have a chance. And I hope that they're not going to be afraid to bench Derek Carr if Spencer Rattler is our future, or if Spencer Rattler is possibly going to do a better job now. Because Derek Carr can't run. I mean, we saw what happened when he tried to run. So, I'm ambivalent about restructuring his contract. I mean, I guess it's good. I mean, I guess they kind of have to. They're kind of stuck with him. And I wonder back when they got Dennis Allen, I wonder if Dennis Allen said, I got to have Derek Carr. And so they went with Dennis Allen and said, okay, you got Derek Carr. And then, of course, there was that relationship between Derek Carr and Dennis Allen that made you think that as long as Dennis Allen was coach, Derek Carr would be the quarterback. And that's the way it was. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens at this point. Man, wait till you hear what this border guard apparently had some women do in order to get across the border. Now, this really is, I guess, this is the right way to enter our country. What this border guard had these women do. I mean, this is a great example of letting people in the right way. Anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, this is really sad to me. More than 3,000 children have survived fentanyl poisoning in the last decade. That's really sad. More than 3,000 kids in the U.S. were poisoned with fentanyl. And this survey was just released on Friday from the American Journal of Drug and Alcohol Abuse. It's based on an analysis of non-fetal fentanyl pediatric exposures reported to poison centers in 49 U.S. states. Nearly 60% of those incidents happened to youth between 13 and 19, compared to just over 41% of children younger than 12. So, you know, this is sad, but, you know, once again, I go back to one of Donald Trump's main reasons for the tariffs, which is really not one of the main reasons for the tariffs, because this was mentioned, but the tariffs were about getting back at these countries that had been taking advantage of the United States. But now it's fentanyl. It's trying to stop fentanyl coming across the border. I don't really get the connection between high tariffs and stopping fentanyl from coming across the border. And you understand what they're saying. Basically, emphasizing stopping fentanyl coming across the border, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make illegal drugs safer so people can do illegal drugs and not die. Why don't you just tell people don't do illegal drugs? Why don't you just emphasize the importance of not buying cocaine or anything from somebody on the street? That's what needs to be emphasized. The idea of making sure that fentanyl doesn't come across our border is basically saying, well, we just want to make sure that the illegal drugs, we want to make sure that cocaine is better for the kids when they do it, because we just don't want them to die. Well, of course, we don't want them to die. But, you know, there's not enough emphasis placed on, hey, you know what? There could be fentanyl in cocaine. So don't do cocaine, because the advantage that you think you're getting from cocaine is only lasting a few minutes. All right, if you want to join us with a comment about anything we talk about on this beautiful, incredible Monday afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you, too, as well. How are you today?
Good. You have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend, man. Spring has sprung. Daylight savings nonsense. I don't know. Did it begin or did it end? I never can remember.
Well, no, daylight savings began.
It began today.
Standard time.
Okay, yeah.
It began today.
So long to standard time.
Or yesterday.
I'm so excited. I looked down. I looked it up today. Last light at 7:30 p.m.
And
let me tell you, that's pretty nice.
I think when we get into like July, I the sun's not going to set until just after 8 o'clock.
Brother. That can't come soon enough. You know, for fellas like you and I, who are just, you know, we're in an office most of the hours of the day, and leaving here after it's dark,
it's tough.
You know, it's tough. You know, I'm not going to say that's the worst thing in the world, but after several months, you get kind of tired of that. And now I'm so looking forward to leaving the office and being able to take a leisurely bike ride, or I can go get a couple of beers and go sit by the river and watch the sunset. And, you know, it just changes everything about my attitude. I'm so happy.
Exactly how many beers would there be?
You know, I'll probably put down two tall boys, maybe. I'll stop by one of the little bodegas and just get, like two tall boys probably in the little brown paper bags, of course.
You know, there's nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing tougher than leaving work in the fall. And it's a Monday, and it's dark when you're leaving work, and it's raining.
Ugh, that's the worst.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I used to love to be on standard time, because I liked it when it got dark earlier, because I did the morning show and I didn't have much of an evening, you know, because it got dark later. So, you know, I felt like, I liked it when it got dark earlier. It made me feel like there was more of a night. And daylight savings time gave it so much light that I felt like I was missing out on something, and I didn't want to go to bed as early as I needed to go to bed. But right now, at this point in my life, I'm loving daylight savings time. I think it should stay. We're going to talk a little bit about the effects of switching to daylight savings time. You know, I know we've got an article on our website about a big accident that they're blaming on daylight savings time. And I just, I don't buy, it. I there may be some doctors who have come up with some statistics, but it's kind of like with the full moon. The stuff that happens during a full moon is just coincidental. And people, when bad things happen, people relate it to the full moon. When bad things happen after a time change, people want to relate it to the time change, and they're looking for reasons to make it seem like the time change is causing all these problems. But I don't really think it is, because we're talking about, again, losing an hour of sleep. And, you should be able to adjust your body to it being darker in the morning and lighter at the end of the day without your body totally freaking out. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Hey, I did the taste test of the Dr. Pepper flavored Peeps.
Oh no!
I posted it on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. It's up there right now. They were good.
Come on!
Now I like Peeps. They tasted. It amazed me. I ate them live while I was doing the video. Ian. It tasted like Dr. Pepper.
I'm sure it tastes like Dr. Pepper. Why would you defile Dr. Pepper by combining it with the flavor of Peeps? Dr. Pepper deserves better than that.
You see, you know what you are? You're a Peepist.
I'm a Peepist.
You're a Peepist. You do not respect people who like Peeps.
Hey, man.
You discriminate. You're discriminatory. You're
a Peepist. What can I say? It's just the way I was raised. You know, that's just how it is where I came
from.
Well,
you know, it shouldn't be that way. And young people should be taught to accept people who eat Peeps and not be so critical of people who eat Peeps.
Okay. I'm sorry.
There's Peepism in America.
I'm sorry. I thought this was America. Peepism. I thought this was the land of the free, where you
America.
Get to believe what you want to believe. You can't make me believe that Peeps aren't terrible.
No, but you can't. I mean, you can't. You know, you can't look down on people. You shouldn't criticize people for liking Peeps, because this is America. And if they want to like Peeps, they can like Peeps.
You think Peeps have nice things to say about you, brother?
Peeps,
they do not.
That's an inanimate object. That's an inanimate object.
Oh, now who's the Peepist? Now look at you.
Peeps.
Wow, wait, wow.
If I like Peeps.
Oh, man.
I should be allowed to eat Peeps.
I can't believe you can say that on the radio.
You see, I shouldn't feel like if I bring Peeps to work, especially during this season of Lent and leading up to Easter and right after Easter, when Peeps are prominent on the shelves, I should be able to bring Peeps to work and not feel like I'm being looked down upon, not feel like I'm being discriminated against because I've got Peeps.
Amen.
Because inevitably at some point, you know, if somebody's going to get a promotion, it might be the guy who doesn't eat Peeps. There might be discrimination against the guy who eats Peeps, because there is Peepism in this country.
You know, if you want to eat Peeps, we're all here to do. You keep that to yourself, man. I don't want you putting that in my face.
Why?
I don't want that shoved down my throat. I don't want to have to explain that to my kids. You know what I'm saying? Just keep it to your damn self.
I was born this way.
Well, you should try something else.
If kids see me eating Peeps,
it's disgusting.
Mom and dad should just say, hey, you know what? You may hate it. You may think it's an abomination, but this guy is eating Peeps, and he has a right to eat Peeps. And so don't be critical of him.
I'm moving to Canada.
That's the world that I want to live in.
I'm moving to Canada.
I want to live in a world where I'm accepted as a Peep eater. I don't want to be ostracized. I don't want to be looked down upon. I don't want kids to, you know, jeer me on the street going, oh, my God, he's eating Peeps. Oh, my God, how can he do that in public? He's doing it in public. You see, this is something that has long been a problem in America. And it's about time that we addressed it, because as a Peep eater, I have felt discriminated against in so many ways. I feel like I have to hide being a Peep eater. And I was born this way. I didn't choose to eat Peeps. You think I thought that eating Peeps, it's not a positive thing in our society?
Look,
but you know, here I'm a Peep eater. My body was made this way. My DNA causes me to be a Peep eater. And if I want to eat Peeps, I should be able to eat Peeps openly in public without there being any criticism. And yet there is criticism of people who eat Peeps.
Look, this might surprise you, but I'm with you. I believe you. I support you. You should be able to eat Peeps in public without fear of discrimination wherever, whenever you want, which is why I have bought you a one-way plane ticket to Guatemala, where you and all your friends can go and eat all the Peeps you want. You freaks. You can sit down there, you know, on the ground in your little peep circle and just eat peeps until you're purple in the face. And we will continue here in America, in the first world, to continue.
Why should I feel like I have to leave this country in order to be accepted? That's the problem I have. And it shouldn't be that way. I should be equally accepted. In fact, I don't even like this idea that, you know, this is one of the things that, you know, so many people are coming to this country because they want the freedom to eat peeps, because they can't freely eat peeps in their country. They want to come here for the freedom in America to do things like this.
Sounds like a personal problem. That's not for me.
All right, if you want to join us, the Okunor Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We've got to spend a little more time talking about the mayor. City Council is PO'd at Mayor Cantrell because after suggesting a travel plan, the mayor took off to D.C. Oh, yeah, right. Well, you know, I don't know when you're coming back, but it's going to be too soon for me. At one point, though, LaToya Cantrell is going to be out of here, and I can't wait for history to record her reign as mayor as being something that is not going to shed positive light on LaToya Cantrell as a person. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. I mean, seriously, what is Mayor Cantrell going to put on her resume? She likes to travel, and she doesn't care if the company's broke. She's going to go ahead and use money anyway to travel, even though things are difficult. I'm sure she's in D.C. hobnobbing for a job right now, because the mayor's race is coming up October the 11th, and I can't wait. I mean, this is going to be a great day for New Orleans. And I believe, and I could be wrong, but I think I'm going to be right here, I believe that history is going to shed a very negative light on the woman, LaToya Cantrell. And she's been so arrogant and so driven by her ego that she can't see it coming. But history is going to report this period of time as a very negative time in the city of New Orleans for a number of reasons. There was the way she handled the Hard Rock Cafe, the Hard Rock Hotel Cafe collapse, and many, many other things. A lot of people applaud the way she handled the pandemic. And, you know, there were some positive things about that. But the other things that she has done that just show she doesn't care about the citizens, those things are really overwhelming. Qualifying for the mayor's race is July 9th through the 11th, and the election is October the 11th. City Council member Oliver Thomas is supposed to have announced by now, but he hasn't yet. And political analyst Clancy Dubo says that there are a lot of resources that are needed, and so maybe he's not ready to announce. Xavier University sociology professor Dr. Silas Lee says that it may be strategic for him to wait before he announces. Because, you know, people have short memories, and people can get in the race and they can kind of start battling each other. And then somebody pops into the race and all of a sudden they're a fresh new face. Not that Oliver Thomas is a fresh new face, but officially he would be a fresh new face later on in the mayor's race. We talked last week on the show about Tyrell Morris, who was head of the 911 commission in New Orleans. He was announcing that he's running for mayor of the city. And he's got a trial date coming up. And I don't wish any ill on anybody, but, I mean, this is a guy embroiled in all kinds of controversy, not the least of which is he gets into an accident and then allegedly doctors the official documents so he doesn't have to submit himself to a drug or alcohol test. Why? Was he drunk? Was he on drugs? You know, we don't know. And then there was a contract that he kind of screwed up, and it cost the city $3.8 million. This was a Mayor Cantrell guy. This was her guy. And so here's another guy who just seems like, you know, I mean, in some ways, because of maybe the fact that he's involved in this kind of stuff, yeah, maybe that makes him the perfect candidate for mayor, because those are the kind of people we seem to pick. But, you know, I don't know. I'm assuming Oliver Thomas is going to get in. His felony conviction is going to come up as part of that. And, you know, in all honesty, he's served his debt to society, served his term, paid his debt to society. So, you know, is that going to be an issue? Of course it's going to be an issue, because you can pay your debt to society, but you still did something dishonest in the first place, which sent you to prison. So it's going to be that judgment, and he's going to have to be contrite, and he's going to have to show that he's changed. One of his problems is Mayor Cantrell is not helping him, and I think he's depending on Mayor Cantrell's base to get him elected. I think he's going to appeal to her base, and I would not be surprised if she endorses him. But the way she's acting, and like the trip to D.C. And all of those trips, the way she's acting, that's not helping his case if he is going to plan on going for her base. Let's go to Hammond. Irvin, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. I want to get to Cantrell after this. I don't know if you're aware of this. There is a 1-800-NATIONAL-PEEP hotline. 1-800-PEEP-STOP. And there's trained counselors.
Stop. Okay.
There's trained counselors, once you call, that will help you get off of your PEEPs addiction, okay?
So you think I should really, instead of working to be accepted as a PEEP eater, I should work on getting rid of my desire to eat PEEPs?
No, I'm kidding you. You got to do what you're going to do in life.
Yeah, I believe that too, Irvin. I think I should be free to be a PEEP eater without criticism in America.
And I was addicted to Ubix pies, but then when they went out of business and left, I got away from it. And now that they're back, I can pass by the counter of pies and take it or leave it. You know, so I was like you. I was addicted to, like many New Orleanians, I was addicted to Ubix pies. Sometimes I'd buy two. And I'd eat both of them. I'd get so guilty after the second one. I'm like, why did I do that? You know, but
yeah, because if you read the label, I mean, they're delicious. But if you read the label, the fat gram and the calories and the carbs in that, the sugar in that, it's really overwhelming.
Yeah, it pretty well takes up your daily requirements of 2,000 calories if you eat two of them.
Yeah, I think so. All right, Irvin, you had another comment. I'm going to have to get to a break before.
Yeah, I want to move on to the city, especially to the two I will not name council persons that will be running for mayor. I've looked at the city charter. The council is a legislative body. They're in charge of money, procurements, money that's released. They have to approve it. And I can't believe they don't have a mechanism. It took them 7 years to finally try to put, you know, a cut on her travel. But on this last travel, I know they probably don't cut a check and somebody signs it, but there's got to be a mechanism. It's got to probably be a city credit card where they can just block the damn thing. And she's at the airport or wherever she puts the reservation in, and it doesn't process. So I'm upset, you know, the city council has moved very slow and that there's not a mechanism where they can just override her travel. And I'll give it to you.
Yeah, well, you know, that would be nice, and you would think that they would have that power. The mayor maybe has a little too much power. Irvin, I appreciate the call. I mean, everybody should be disgusted by this, not just those who live in New Orleans, but all of you who work in the city, all of you who come into the city for Saints games or Pelicans games or festivals or anything. You come into the city, and this city has an impact on wherever you live throughout this area, St. Tammany Parish included. St. Tammany Parish and the surrounding parishes would not be what they are if New Orleans was not here. So I get that all of you have a vested interest in New Orleans. And even though you can't vote for mayor, you still care about who is mayor and what happens in our city. And I am still stunned by the arrogant nature of LaToya Cantrell's attitude. I can't believe in the face of everything she goes to D.C. But I shouldn't be surprised, because when the city council shut her out of the Pontalba building, she still went there. And they finally had to basically literally change the locks to keep her out. I mean, they had to do more to keep her out because she just didn't go by their word. This is how arrogant this woman is. She should never have become, she should never have been reelected, she should never have been mayor of the city, and the city is not better off because of her. So we'll see what happens from this point on. By the way, I just checked a moment ago, the stock market is down 953 points, and Donald Trump is now saying he's not ruling out a recession. Wow, that's not what we heard during the campaign, is it? If you want to join us with a comment, the Okanar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. But hey, let's not let the mayor or the possibility of a recession bother us. Let's just relish in the fact that, hey, look at this beautiful Monday afternoon. Hey, President Trump got a little bit upset with a Fox News host, Maria Bartiromo. This was an interview. He was on Air Force One, and he got a little PO'd about her challenging him. I'm surprised she challenged him with anything because she's been a Trump sycophant over the years. Trump said, this was about the economy. He said, but I've only been here for, but, and then she goes, But are you expecting a recession this year? And Trump says, I hate to predict things like that. There's a period of transition. And what we're doing is very big, and we're bringing wealth back to America. And that's a big thing. Later yesterday, President Trump came back from the press cabin aboard Air Force One to speak to reporters. And his last question was about that exchange. And the president stood by his answer and said, who knows about predicting this recession that could be coming? So he wasn't happy with the question. You know, look, if you're president of the United States, you're going to get tough questions. You're going to get challenges. I don't know why Donald Trump thought that he was going to be ushered into office and there weren't not going to be challenges to everything that he said. That's just what happens when you're president of the United States. You get challenges to everything you say. And if you're not man enough to handle it, then don't run for president. Then simply be a businessman where you could fire somebody who questions you. But as president, you can't fire people who question you unless it's within your own staff. And we saw what happened in the first term. So far, that doesn't seem to be happening now, but, you know, we'll see what's happening. But there was a big war that broke out on the SOTA Facebook page yesterday, and I contributed, I guess, to it by not taking it and responding to some of the inane, ridiculous posts on there. And, you know, I'm going to read a couple of them to you in the next hour. But, you know, I mean, I'm not going to just sit there and take the stupidity. And please don't suggest any longer that I never talked about Biden or that I never said anything negative about the Democrats then or now, because I have. And my record is very clear here. You know, I have talked about the Democrats in a very negative way. I talked about President Biden in a very negative way when it comes to the border and a lot of things. So either you're just not listening, or somehow your bias renders you deaf to hear what is actually being said. I mean, Ian, it was bizarre over the weekend.
Yeah, I haven't gotten in there to see exactly what you're talking about today, but I surely will soon. But let me just also offer this. If you're trying to navigate these conversations on the Facebook page, whether it's you or somebody listening, and you're interacting with somebody that doesn't even have a profile picture picked out,
yeah,
it might seem like a small thing, but in my view, that's a cue that I don't have to listen to you. I don't need to care what you say because you have so little respect for yourself. Stepping into a social media space like that without even a basic, you know, 5-second effort to put some sort of picture in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like you're stepping into the public square wearing like dirty stained underwear and flip-flop with like mustard and ketchup stains all over your face. Like, the presentation is ridiculous. Have a little self-respect first before you insist that I'm stupid and you're right and you're never wrong and you're smarter than everybody else. You look like an idiot. You look like a lazy moron. And I don't want to listen to you, and I'm not going to have to talk to you. And that's your problem, not mine.
Yeah, I was just amazed. I've got a couple of things to share. Yeah, I'm reluctant to block people unless they get personal, and I have blocked people who get personal, but I'm almost ready to start blocking based on just basic stupidity. Like, I know there's one woman on there, and I know her, so I know what her financial situation is. And she's just talking about how, oh, this whole thing with the setback and the stock market, all that, it's just a temporary thing. This woman can afford to say that. Donald Trump can afford to say it. I can afford to say it, but I'm not saying it. I'm speaking for the people who are living paycheck to paycheck, who are deeply hurt by inflation. And these people with money, it's so easy for them to say, oh, just deal with it. This is just a small thing to bigger gains. Well, some people are going to be really, really hurt, even if there are bigger gains later. And Donald Trump did not talk about a recession during the campaign.
I'm real curious, as sort of a student of political science, to see how this pays off, because elected leaders asking their constituents for patience while they drag down the economy, historically, not a thing that works. You know what I mean? It's like, can you imagine if Joe Biden said, you know, around 2022, like, hey, I know inflation is really bad right now, but, you know, we've got these policies in place. We passed this act. We passed that piece of legislation. I'm just going to ask you to be patient, but there are going to be short-term pains. You know, nobody would have tolerated that. Well, instead, what he and the Democrats chose to do, which I think was also a mistake, was say, it's not that bad. It's not, you know, the stock market is good and the job, you know, wages are increasing and everything. People don't care. Eggs are still expensive. Bacon is still expensive. Insurance is too expensive. All the things are still expensive. And so you're asking me to be patient about that. Will that rule apply to Donald Trump or not? We'll find out.
Yeah, we will find out. The other thing is that I have always talked about how new presidents inherit the economy of the previous president. And Donald Trump inherited the whole economy from Joe Biden. But what he didn't inherit was the new tariffs. The concept of tariffs have sent the financial world into chaos. I'm not making this up. I mean, look at the stock market right now. It's down 1,021.95 points. So over 1,000 points, it's down. Were you expecting that? You voted for Trump? Take a look at your 401k plan and call the show and tell me if you're happy. Now, Donald Trump inherited the economy, but he didn't inherit the tariff issue. He also made it seem during the campaign that no matter what happened before he was president, once he became president, there was going to be financial and inflation paradise. He was going to cut inflation immediately. And people voted for him on the premise that he was going to cut inflation immediately. And while all politicians lie, I just remind you that Donald Trump is a politician. And he lied.
We'll see where the markets close, but if it sticks at 1,000, that'll be the single largest drop in one day since August of 2022, about 2.5.
Wow. All right. So there's a border agent who admits that he ordered women to expose their breast if they wanted to enter the United States. Now, you see, that's the honest, good way to get into this country. You want to come into America? Let me see your tutus, your Charlies, your Hooters. Yeah, you just come up to the border. Let me see your yabos, and we'll let you in. And by the way, this happened while Trump was president. I'm not saying that Trump is directly responsible here, but this former border agent admitted to ordering two female border crossers to show him their breasts. One of the women said she couldn't leave the United States until she couldn't enter the United States until she showed her breast. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL.